Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study.
Now, would you bow your head in prayer, please? Now, Heavenly Father, we want to come to you today and thank you so much for the most important thing that we could ever do, and that's trust Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We thank you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the salvation that you've given unto us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Come on in.
Amen. Amen.
Well, what we've been doing for about 4 weeks now, we've been covering Born Again. It's been about 5 years since we covered it. And so hopefully today, this is going to be the last one on it. The last part. I think it's going to be called, what's it called? Born Again Part 4, I believe. So we're going to end up. But Mary Lou, you had a question, and I know Richard did the other day. You made a statement about being born of the Spirit. And today you're going to see what that really is. That really is. It's going to surprise you. Guarantee you. Now, I just want to go back and read something in John chapter 3. Just to bring us up to speed here. And let you... I'm going to write something on the board here. I was until somebody moved that. Here it is, maybe. In John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered... He was talking to Nicodemus, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Wow. Let me show you something here. It said, "That which is Spirit is spirit." You ever see this when you read it? Born of the Holy Spirit is spirit. Now we're going to play with that just a little bit. But that's what it says, isn't it? You need to take heed to that because we're going to be talking about that. Now, and verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." This is what Christ is saying. "The wind bloweth where it listeth." Well, wait a minute. I don't want to go there yet. We're going to hit that shortly, but I don't want to go there yet. "Marvel not that I said unto thee," that's you, T-H-E-E. We covered it in the first section. T-H-E-E is you individually. "And ye, all of you," and it's talking in the context of the nation of Israel, "must be born again." You got me? So there's that "thee" and "ye" again. If you missed the first section that we did, T-H-E-E is singular. Y-E is plural. So when you read this, you need to see that. "Ye" is all of you. The whole house of Israel must, absolutely, must be born again. Do you realize for the little flock that he's talking to, the people back in John there, they didn't have a rapture. They didn't have the gathering out to meet the Lord in the air. It wasn't until who? Jesus Christ in this heavenly ministry revealed unto the Apostle Paul that we're going to be gathered out to meet the Lord in the air for his heavenly ministry. There's a lot of people in this world have never even heard the word rapture. Of course, it's not in the Bible. We know that means gathering out to meet the Lord in the air. They never heard the term gathering out to meet the Lord in the air. They think that the church that we're a part of today, which is the body of Christ, is the church that started at Pentecost. No, I'm telling you, that's really the truth. And it's a shame that people don't know. They're ignorant. They are ignorant. You know, this is off the subject, but it's on my mind. Just popped in there. I was thinking this morning as I was getting up about people who, and I'm going to tell you how it came about. I was studying last night, and I read a paragraph of Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest old time, he was a Calvinist, though.
Yep.
And people put a lot of stock in what he said, but he didn't preach Calvinism, but he believed it. And he believed you could lose your salvation. Now, let me tell you what I personally believe. If anybody in this room thinks you can lose your salvation, you're still lost. Okay, anybody listening to my voice, you're still lost. And I read that and I said, I can't believe that old man's lost. It's too late for him now. But do y'all agree?
Yes.
Amen.
Ain't that something? Eternal security. It's simple. Ain't that right, Jim? You're sealed.
You're sealed.
Until the day of redemption. How can you lose? My goodness. I felt so bad after reading it. I said, if people put in stock or confidence. Yes, ma'am.
Well, there is a thought, too, that it might not be eternal security for everybody else. Yeah, I'm talking about this person in his mind. But yet, for myself, I feel secure in the Lord. Now, that's the way I thought all growing up. In other words, there was nothing that could convince me that I wasn't eternal secure. But I still felt that a person could backslide and lose his salvation because I'd seen examples of it all through my life, at least what I thought was examples of it. So you see what I'm saying? So a person could still be saved and think that, but not for themselves. You see my point?
No, I don't believe that.
It's just hard to believe that all those people that have thought that, then if that be the truth, then all my relatives and everyone are in hell. And I just cannot,
want to believe their relatives are in hell. I'm not saying they are. But if someone believes that they can lose their salvation,
If they truly believe
they can lose their salvation, and they do.
Well, they might believe it for others, but for themselves, they truly believe, I know I'm saved. See, there is a difference.
Well.
Just a thought.
Yeah, it's a thought. Good thought.
Just a thought. We'll have to agree to disagree, but I cannot see anybody that believes that is saved. I can't. Just like asking for forgiveness of your sins. Why would you ask for forgiveness of your sins if you really did believe Jesus Christ died for all of them? You see? This is just black and white. There's no gray area. Yes, Jim?
Yeah. Brother Moore says nothing wrong with confessing your sin.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Not for forgiveness.
Absolutely. But for confessing, you don't even know what you've done. You might get a big one here and there, but you don't know what you've done.
The people are misled.
People
are misled. We're saying that they don't know or they're ignorant. They're just simply lied to and misled, and they think the person standing behind that pulpit like you are, that they can trust.
Yeah, they can't.
And they can't trust them.
Nope. You've got to get into the Scriptures and see what the Scripture says, rightly divided. You cannot put your trust, and that's what so many people, like my dad, he believed in the primitive Baptist faith, and he believed in washing feet.
Yep, we did too.
Why? Because Jesus washed the apostles' feet. Come on in.
Church of God does that. They just
Church of Christ. You've got to be baptized in water or you're going to hell. What? Yes, Dave?
Well, if you add anything to your salvation, you have negated it, okay, because you've gone a different direction.
Amen.
As simple as that. Anything, I don't care if it's work, if it's I have to be good or God won't save me, I have to give 10% to the church or I won't be saved, it doesn't matter what it is. The minute you add anything, you're off the track and you've lost it. It's a commitment you make personally because Christ had a personal commitment, and that's it, nothing more. You know?
Well, Mary Lou, it's kind of like my grandmother on my what do you call it, maternal grandmother, your mother's side, was a fantastic human being. She was the rock of the whole family. She was a Methodist. She didn't have a clue. And I love that woman, still do. Just because our ancestors didn't know the truth is not your responsibility and it's not my responsibility. It's too late. You will never know whether they were saved or lost when you get to heaven, except if they're saved, you will see them again. But if they're lost, and we don't know, that's an individual thing between that person and the Lord, then you will never know it because there's no tears in heaven and there's no sadness. Yes, Dave?
I mean, here's a real simple example. This is on Facebook. It's a friend of Irma's. It's a mother talking about her child. Kylie got saved today. Oh, me? Really? How do you know? Kylie, I talked to my teacher. Me. You talked to your teacher? Or Kylie, I talked to my teacher. Me. You're supposed to talk to Jesus? Kylie, well, my teacher and me pray. Me. All right. Well, does that mean that you're not going to get in trouble anymore? Kylie, no. Me. I don't think she got saved because she's not going to get in trouble anymore. Wow. Yeah. Kylie, well, we're allowed to make some mistakes. At least Kylie's getting a little bit.
She's like 8 years old.
You know, what is this mother putting this child under, you know? You're not saved because if you were saved, you'd never do anything wrong again.
Wow.
Well, guess what? None of us are there.
But we're not going to be there until we get a new body. Yes, Carol?
Well, we that actually know the truth need to help others, because I asked my aunt if she knew whether my mom was saved. She told me, yeah, she was saved. She got baptized.
And that's what we're talking about. People that got baptized, they think they're saved. They think they're going to make it, but they can lose their salvation. You cannot lose your salvation once you have it. That would be, that'd make God out a liar. And he is not a liar. All men would be a liar. But we were talking about the rapture, and it wasn't, most people didn't even know about it. Some of them still don't know about it, especially all over the world. But that's what we're here for. We're supposed to go out and teach the gospel of the grace of God. Now, what people, we were talking about these apostles and the little flock. Do you realize those 12 apostles were witnesses? Talks about witnesses in Revelation, but those are witnesses. And witnesses are what? The term witness, you could substitute as martyrs. God gave them power to get their heads cut off in the tribulation. I'm telling you. They had power to suffer. We don't have that power. They had power to endure until the end of Matthew 24:13, Mark 13:13, until the end of their life or until the end of the tribulation, whichever came first. And of course, they all died first. So, those in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 are those back up in John 3:7. Ye must be born again. It's who he's talking about. Now, that's how it's going to be for those people that's in the tribulation. It was for them. But in Revelation, look at Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. I got a lot to go, and I want to finish this service today. We may have to run over a little bit on the first service.
I ain't got to leave. Have take off.
Jimmy's giving you permission, so go ahead.
I can go with him tonight.
You know, I was reading Revelation last night, and Revelation 12, and then I know what it says, or where I'm at. So then I said, well, I'm just going to go out there and see what somebody else says. They ain't got a clue. I went out to blueletterbible.org, I swear sometimes after I've been solidified it or whatever, I go out there and see what these other people have to say. And these theologians and stuff just don't know. It just bothers me to no end. Thinking that these theologians who've studied, that's their whole life, don't know. And in verse 7 of Revelation 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. But you know, a lot of people believe that Michael is Jesus Christ.
Oh,
yes, they do believe that. God.
Then why does it say Michael?
That's what I'm saying. Of course, the dragon here is Satan. But anyway, verse 8, and prevail not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You know, he's already been cast out of the third heaven right now.
Yep.
He's in charge of the, he's a principal, he's in charge of the first and second heavens right now, where birds fly and where birds don't fly. But this, he's kicked out of both third and second heaven, and he's down here on earth in this Revelation 12. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In other words, they were martyrs. They were witnesses, but they were martyrs. He gave them power to overcome and look forward to having their heads cut off.
I made a statement to Richard that today's April Fool's, Easter falls on April Fool's Day. And he says, well, it's really good in a way. He says, you realize what April Fool's, how it came to be. And I says, no, I really don't. He says, because the Christians were thought of as fools for giving their lives for Christ. for the testimony, and so they were called fools, and that's how April Fool's Day.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because
I'd never heard that before.
Who told you that?
Richard. I don't know where he
I like that, because here's the thing. We're not Christians, guys.
No, that's true.
But the statement you just made was the Christians gave their lives. We don't. They were martyrs. He gave them power to do that and actually look forward to doing it and been pleasing God. Well, I don't look forward to getting my head cut off now. I really don't. Now, what about John 3:16? That statement, it says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We're not going to go over the thing. But what does that mean? That means perishing in hell. That wasn't written to us, John 3:16, was it? It was written to who?
The little one.
Israel.
Israel. So, they were looking forward to going into hell. You've got a couple things. According to Luke 16, starting in verse 19, you've got something that's similar to this, okay? You've got the hell side. This is called the underworld. You've got the gulf. You've got the bottomless pit. Bog B-O-M. And you've got Abraham's bosom. So they were looking forward to going into here in Luke 16. That's what John 3 is. This is called Hades or the underworld, but Hades is another name for hell. Or hell is another name for Hades. So they were looking forward to coming in here. Not going to hell as we know hell, where Jesus Christ went after he was crucified and buried. Well, of course, his soul and spirit left him there in his body. But he went to hell and he suffered. He suffered your death for you. Yes, sir.
That's what makes those radical Muslims a big danger, because they have been convinced that their death is going to produce something better on the other side for them. That's why they can blow themselves up and blow them. They're not afraid to die.
They've been brainwashed into thinking, so many virgins are waiting for me.
Yep.
It's going to be blissful when I get there. No, it's going to be hell when you get there.
It's not scary to me.
Oh, I don't want a part of that.
What do you do when you run out of virgins?
I need more love.
But what did they expect to do? Perishing. Go here. Go down into Hades or hell. Then they were going to be, I'm talking about the little flock now. They're going to be what? Born again. That's what they were expecting, to be born again. Okay. But guess what? That ain't for you. That's not for you as we know. Now, in our case, the rapture could happen at any time. And the reason I say that, at any time, we know it's going to happen at least 7 years prior to the tribulation. And whenever I'm thinking about the rapture, we've got calendars. There's no calendar on the face of the earth that's right. The Jews don't have it. We don't have it. It's been changed so many different times. So that's the only way that I can say that it could happen at any time, because other than that, if you go by a calendar, it's probably supposed to happen around 2028 or somewhere in that neck of the woods. Now, I'm not a date setter. Don't even hold me to no date, because I'm not. But then we know it's going to happen. I'll just leave it like that. It's going to happen about 7 years before the tribulation starts, okay? And the church is going to be called out to meet the Lord in the air. Now, in the twinkling of an eye, your vile body is going to be changed like into his glorious body. You all know that. Right. Ain't that right, Jim?
Amen.
Philippians, what,
amen.
3:20-21?
I'm looking forward to that.
But see, everybody in here, Alma,
yes,
has already died judicially. Y'all dead. So am I. We are. That's what Romans 6 is. That's what it's talking about. But not so with them. The ye is Israel in John chapter 3. And the only way they could enter into the kingdom of heaven was to die. Well, some of us are not going to have to experience death. If the rapture come today, we would be translated. I believe this is just my belief, not scriptural. I believe that we're going to be translated, and those people that are already dead that are saved are going to be resurrected first, And we're gonna, they're gonna stand on their feet, and we're all gonna go up, but we're gonna be translated. It's gonna kind of be like a instant death, and we're gonna get a new body, and off we go.
Oh,
nobody seems to know. I mean, the scriptures are not clear, but that's as close as I can get to it. Anybody, you got anything on it, Tommy, other than that?
Yeah.
That's why John says, ye must be born again. Ye, again. I know it's redundant, but it's the nation of Israel. Must be born again. Paul doesn't say that, does he? No, he doesn't say that. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we shall not all die. That just tells you that. That's what it is. But they didn't even have a hope of not dying. They were looking forward to it, to suffer for it. Now, something that Paul writes about, and only Paul writes about, is the rapture of the church. That's one of the mysteries that Jesus Christ and his heavenly ministry gave unto the Apostle Paul. Now, I want you to go over to John chapter 3, verse 8, and let's see what he says. Now, we've already read, what, 5, 6, and 7. But I've got this one up here for a reason. In John chapter 3, and while you're at it, go over to Luke 24, and I hold on to that one, too. John chapter 3, verse 8. Luke 24. In John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. In other words, what does that listeth mean? The wind bloweth where it wishes to go. That's what it means. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. Listen to this. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, people think being born of the Spirit is separate from being born like this. But that, if you'll notice the word there, born of the Spirit is a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. I want you to, and this is not going to hurt the scripture whatsoever. I want you to take John 3, 8 and add this. Is Spirit. Didn't hurt it at all. Why? Because we've already saw this. This, you're born of the Spirit. Your spirit, small s. This, you're born of the Spirit. You're still a small s. Why would I say that? Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. I think I'm going to start back up. In verse 36, I think I want to go to Luke 24, 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified. Why were they terrified? Because Jesus just appeared there. What? The wind bloweth where it wishes? But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. That's a little S. Now, I'm going to tell you, I did a lot of searching, and of course I knew this, but I went through, and I found some mistakes last night in Strong's Concordance, by the way. Don't ever trust it totally. You're going to, even when you go to Strong's, you've got to challenge it. You think Strong's is perfect? No, because a man wrote it. But Strong's has got some wrong words in there, wrong meanings. You have to go with the context of the scripture that you're reading. Now, verse 38, and he said unto them, but to see this word in 37, spirit, that's a spirit. Is a demon a spirit? Yes, it is. And that's what they were talking about. They're talking about a spirit you can't see. You can't touch it and you can't feel it, but it's there. But in 38, and he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, in other words, look, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Right here, He's talking about a spirit as one you can't see. It's invisible, as I just said. But he has a spirit body. One without blood. That's a spirit body. To be born again, as we had here, the Holy Spirit is spirit. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit left him. You remember that? When sin was put on him. But he was what? Renewed with the Holy Spirit. He was born again and he was renewed with the Holy Spirit. He has a spirit body. His spirit is a human body. And that's what we're going to have once you're born again. He is the first of the first fruits. Once you're born again, and you will be, the day of the rapture, you'll go up and your vile body will be changed like it is glorious body. You will be regenerated or you will be born again, which is the same. Now, I thought that was interesting because Jesus Christ has a spirit body, but he is not a spirit. In John 4:24, it tells you that God is a spirit. You can't see him, can you? No, you can't. But he's the good spirit. God is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. So we know Jesus Christ had a body made out of flesh and bones. Because why? Blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So Jesus has got a body. Why has he got a body? He's got a glorious body. We're going to be turned in. We're going to see further. We're going to be turned into the image of Jesus Christ.
My God.
We're going to take on this body that he's got without blood in it. So he has a body and he is it's a spiritual body. When we become born again, we're going to have that same spiritual body. I'm not saying it's going to be the same age, but it could be. That old man that I saw up in Arab the other day, he said, I'm 91. I'm not going on 92. I'm going on 33, because Christ was 33. I thought, man, how profound. Wow, he's going on 33, because that's what Christ was. I don't know if we're all going to be 33. I don't have a clue. And then I get to wondering about those little babies that die, and, you know, that were aborted or whatever. Are they going to be 33? I don't know. There's things that this Bible does not tell you, and if it doesn't tell you, don't worry about it, as Judges said. There's too many people trying to trace down stuff that means nothing. I was reading last night, it was talking about Peter being crucified on a cross, upside down. Well, there is no proof of that whatsoever. That was a tradition that was passed down. Peter being crucified. You know what it says in Galatians, don't it? Every man that hangeth on a tree is cursed. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. But anyway, let's move on. Now, so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the example of what he's talking about right here in John 3:8. You don't know where, you know, the wind comes and you don't know where it's going. You don't know where it comes from. And you can't tell where it goes. I guarantee you right now, if you go outside here, you can look up in the trees over there and you might see some leaves rustling. You know the wind's up there, but you're down here, that wind ain't blowing. But if you're down here and the wind's blowing, it may be blowing on you, Tom. Well, where did it come from? You don't know. Where does it go when it leaves you? You don't know. That's the same way that Jesus Christ is, and that's what was and is, and that's the same way you're going to be when you get your new body. We're going to go into it a little further. Now, likening the wind to spirit. That's what he's doing here. What Jesus is doing, likening the wind to spirit. Now, breath in the scriptures are sometimes meaning spirit. It's likened to the spirit in the Bible. Now, so you're talking about wind and breath is likened unto spirit. Breath you can't see, but you know it's there. I ain't talking about and you see some kind of a vapor. You can't see it, can you?
You can smell it.
Yeah. In your case, I can see.
That's a good one.
Unless you use my bar.
Let's go with John chapter 20, verse 26.
He can be yours today.
Mac, I'd move to another table. I'm just kidding. John 20, 26. Let's see what it says. John 20, 26. These disciples, they were gathered together in a house. In verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. They were in this house or a building, and Thomas with them. You know, it's doubting Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. What? The doors were shut, and all of a sudden, there he is. He just appears right there.
That's it. That's Jesus.
Do you know, when you're born again, you're going to be able to do the same exact thing. And until then, you're not born again. Get it through your mind. Ain't going to happen. Ain't happened to nobody but one. The first of the first fruits. Now, he said, peace be unto you. A born again saint of God, I'm not saying a born again Christian, those people are dead. But a born again saint of God can't just suddenly stand inside of a room when the doors are shut. It's just like Alma before she walked in. If she was born again, she could have just sat down right there. She just automatically appeared right there.
Without even opening the
door. Without opening the door. That's what you call born again. Born again. Okay, let's keep on moving. Now, in Luke 24, let's look at it. Luke 24. Verse 13. You know, this is just after the ladies had went over to Christ's tomb. And he was gone. They talked to a couple of men there, angels. So, why are you looking? He's gone. And in verse, let me see, verse 13. Two men. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus. Now, there's a place up in Philadelphia. I used to work up there, and I handle it. It's called Emmaus. Reminds me, Bethlehem is up there in Pennsylvania. I mean, you got all kind of biblical names up in Pennsylvania, North Philly, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. Now, you want to know how long a furlong is? You figure, you calculate it. It's about 660 feet. I say it's about 7.5 miles. And I may be wrong, but I did the calculation, but I know it's 660 feet for a furlong, and that's 60 of those, okay?
Right.
And they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together, these two guys, and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now here, picture this. You've got two guys walking down the road, and all of a sudden, there, you can see in the back of you as far as you can see. You can see in front of you as far as you can see. And all of a sudden, there he is with you. He's born again. He was born again. You know, unless you are born again, you can't do that. There's just no way. In Luke 24, 30. Let's look at it. Luke 24, 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he was eating. He took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. Watch verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Now what happened? And he vanished out of their sight. Anybody that's born again in here, can you vanish out of somebody's sight? Don't tell me you're born again then. If you can vanish, I'll believe you. If you can walk through the wall, I believe you're born again. But until you are, you're not born again. I don't care what religion tells you. It's wrong. There he goes. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. I want you to, born of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, is spirit. It's born of the Spirit. People think their spirit is born. Look at it. That's a capital S. You're born of the Holy Spirit.
My God, thank you, Jesus.
Your spirit. That's how you get there. You're not born of the Spirit, of your spirit being born. You're a new creature in Christ in this dispensation. Now, I looked up creature in Strong's last night. It does mean creation. You've been created a new creature in Christ. You are a new creation. I couldn't find creation in the entire Bible. Well, it may be, but it's not where I wanted to find it. But you're a new creature in Christ. You're a new creation. Because there's other things when it comes to the Greek and Hebrew, when it comes to creation. But it's all the same dadburn number. And it got different meanings for it. It's just, oh, it's just bad. Now, John 3:8, I want to go over it again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. It blows where it wants to or wishes. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot or canst not tell whence it cometh, where it come from, and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You got me? If you believe that verse, just do it again. If you don't know, I'm just going to put it in my turn. If you don't know where the wind's coming, and you don't know where it's going, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You... I can tell you where you come from because I saw you walk in the door. I can tell you where I come from. And I can tell you where you're going. You're going to walk out of this door. That's what you're going to do. I looked down the road. We'll just use the moss again when the two men were walking. All of a sudden, Christ appeared. I can tell whenever you're walking down the road. I'm not going to be walking down the road and all of a sudden you're standing beside of me. If you're born again, you can do that. But you're not born again. Jesus Christ, we just read over here in verse 31 of John 24. He vanished out of their sight. Now remember, he'd already been crucified, buried, and resurrected, regenerated, born again, the first of the first fruits. He just vanished. Let's take a break. I want to come back. We're going to continue with this. I thought I'd be finished with it.
Thank you so much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you. And join us next week.